Well, we greet you this morning. For those who are visiting with us, it's good to see you. And for those who haven't been out for a while due to illnesses, it's good to see you. And for those who are faithful faces, it's good to see you as well this morning. I trust you've had the opportunity to say good morning, at least to the person sitting next to you. If you haven't, then take that minute to do so. And as we come together, we are coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family, and we have the joys of being family, and we go through the ups and downs together, knowing that we are part of the family of God. Our call to worship this morning, we thank you, Lord, for all the things you have done to make us happy. But we are most grateful for the lavishing of your love, a love too great for us to understand, a love too high for us to reach onto. A love so bright, all the world shines with its glory. The great love is God expressed in our salvation, redeeming us, delivering us, protecting us, supporting us. All this your love does for us. You, yes, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. God is love. In us, around us, enfolding us. For he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We're going to stand together and sing our opening song, Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him? We'll go. Let's sing the first two verses together, please. Perhaps the angels in heaven could do better, but you guys are doing pretty good with this song this morning, By Thy Grand Redemption. I feel we're entering into the presence of God. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with thine own lifeblood for thy diadem, with thy blessings filling us, filling each who comes to thee. Thou hast made us willing. Thou hast made us free. The final two verses together, please. Seated. We're going to spend together some moments in prayer this morning. There's a beautiful song in the Salvation Army songbook that I ask that we will sing this morning. And the second verse of this song will be the chorus, so that will be the refrain for this song. And it says, Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. And then the chorus, the refrain, Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. You know, sometimes we feel that our prayers may not merit going to the throne of God. But the song, the songwriter, the word of God reminds us that we have a mediator. We have an intercessor, one who intercedes on our behalf to the throne of God, one who wants us to spend time with him, one who wants us to bring our needs before him, to pray with him, to talk with him, to share our joys as well as our sorrows, to share the ups as well as the downs. And if we look at our prayer request this morning, we see Brian Page, we see Linda Cranford, Burl Gibbon, Ted Lott, Alice Mann, and again, Stephanie, a young mom with cancer. And these are just a few that are in the bulletin. And I'm sure that we all represent this morning a circumstance or event or a person that we can bring before the Lord. Perhaps ourselves individually, we're going through challenges and difficulties. And we just need to spend these moments in prayer talking with the Lord. So let's sing this, the first three verses of the song together, please. Lord, let's pray together. God, our Father, we come, Lord, this morning. And God, I pray that we come confident. We come boldly before you this morning. We come, Lord, acknowledging your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are here. We thank you, Lord, that you are amongst us. You're blessing us. You're strengthening us. You're encouraging us. You're reminding us of your love and your faithfulness and your forgiveness. And God, I pray that this morning that we will be a people receptive to your Holy Spirit. That God, that we will allow you this morning to work in and through our lives so that God, we will feel and know the full joy of our salvation, the full joy of service. And God, I pray this morning for the needs of your people. Lord, every need we need to present to you. And God, I pray that this morning, if it's physical, we pray for the physical healing. If it's emotional, we pray for the emotional healing. If it's spiritual, we pray for the spiritual healing. We pray, oh God, that today, that people all over our world will know the love of Jesus. That they will know you as God the Father, that they will know you as God the Son, and that they will know you as God the Holy Spirit. that they will know you as the Almighty, but that they will know you as their personal friend. And so, Father, we pray again for your blessing upon all people who need you in any way. We pray for our service this morning. We pray, O God, that we commit this service to you. We commit every song, every prayer. We commit your word. And that, God, anything and everything that's said here this morning will be done for your glory and for your honor. We ask this in your name. And now we'll be led with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as given as heaven. Give us this day our daily breath, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to share in a chorus sing at this time, and we're going to sing four choruses together, and we're just going to take a minute to get the team in place here. And the first chorus, I don't know if you're quite familiar with this chorus, but it's a relatively simple chorus to pick up, and that's Blessed Be the Name. Now I'm going to invite you to stand.
Name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. There's power in the name, there's power in the name, there's power in the name of the Lord. There's power in the name, there's power in the name, there's power in the name of the Lord. There's healing in the name, there's healing in the name, there's healing in the name of the Lord. There's healing in the name, there's healing in the name, there's healing in the name of the Lord. There's saving in the name, there's saving in the name, there's saving in the name of the Lord. There's saving in the name, there's saving in the name, there's saving in the name of the Lord. Let's create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Spirit within me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the Christ of yesterday, today, forever, and he's mine. Oh, yes, he's mine. He's the Christ of yesterday, today, forever, and he's mine. Oh, yes, he's mine. He's the Christ of yesterday, today, forever, and he's mine. Oh, yes, he's mine. When I was sinking deep in sin, I opened up my heart and I let him in. He's the Christ of yesterday, today, forever, and he's mine. Oh, yes, he's mine.
That's my workout for today. All set. I don't need to go to the gym this afternoon. Well, we're not finished singing yet. We're going to share another song together. And that's 889, Once in Misery I Walked Alone, self-sufficient but sad. But I found a friend to walk with me, and I tell you, I'm glad. I hope we are a happy bunch, you know. And, of course, a few weeks back we spoke about praising the Lord, whether in good times or bad, whatever the circumstances are, we praise the Lord. And to know that we have him by our side, to know that we have him with us, walking with us, is a great joy in service for the Lord. So let's sing this song together, please.
Thank you.
just want to refer you to your bulletin this morning. I went over the bulletin this morning and I said, now what do I need to highlight? And I pretty much checked everything off for this morning. So just a reminder this afternoon at 2 p.m., the World Day of Prayer at Knox Presbyterian Church, located at 53 Church Street. So if you're wanting to attend the World Day of Prayer this afternoon, it's at 2 p.m. The Evergreen 50+, March the 9th at 12 noon. And Donna, they can still sign up, right? The sign-up sheet is still outside. Today, yeah. So sign up today if you're planning on attending the Evergreen 50+. So again, March the 9th, and the theme is spring training. And you can wear, if you have a baseball shirt of any kind, hoodie, whatever, you can bring that along for the March the 9th. Just put a plug in for Catherine for the Zoom Bible studies, and it's going very well. And very informative on the life of Joseph. And if you haven't tuned in yet, then there is a welcome for you on Wednesday at 6:30. The core directories are out. They are in the foyer. They're on the board back there, or that little stand or whatever. So if you want to take a copy of the core directory, then you may do so before you leave. And then, of course, Family Services is looking for our assistance with that of cereal, cookies, crackers, pancake mix, syrups, condiments, sugar, so on and so on and so on. I'll be away for the next few weeks. I'm hoping to escape some of the snow and go somewhere a little warmer. And when I get back, we'll have the nice spring weather, and the grass will be turning green again. And we look forward to that. Just want to let you know that most of you know my daughter Danielle, and Danielle right now is stationed in North York. Well, she received her farewell orders on Friday, so she'll be leaving North York on May 1st, going to Hanover as the Corps officer at Hanover. So keep her in your prayers. She's going with me on this cruise, and then she has her Left Hand Institute when she gets back, so she doesn't have a whole lot of time to pack. She's given 1 month to pack all her stuff and get up to Hanover. So just keep her in your prayers, in your prayers as well in these days. And we have a list of the individuals who are doing the services in my absence, and just make these individuals a matter of prayer in the next few weeks. So we're going to wait upon you for your morning offering. We'll just have a word of prayer, and then we'll just worship together. God, our Father, we come. Lord, you have blessed us with so much. And Father, what we give to you now is just a portion of what you've blessed us with. So Father, for the lives you have touched, and for what we are about to receive through that of our tithes and offerings, may be blessed and used by you. In Jesus' name.
I've been looking around for a song that reflects what today is all about. But before I go there, I just want to give recognition to our friend and fellow bandsman, Fred Penny, who has been under the weather, and I see him here today. We're thankful for your health, Fred. But when I watch the news at nighttime, or basically any time of the day, it is disturbing. Sometimes I don't want to watch it because it's so disturbing. We as a band, yes, we can play a nice tune, but we also deliver a message. This morning, this is the message. Help us build a loving world. A new and better loving world. Lay the foundation on Jesus Christ, our Lord, and help us build a loving world. Help us build a caring world. A new and better caring world. Lay the foundation on Jesus Christ, our Lord, and help us build a caring world. Help us build a peaceful world. Oh, how I wish for that. A new and better peaceful world. Lay the foundation on Jesus Christ, our Lord, and help us build a peaceful world. The words will be up. If you care to sing along, who am I to stop you? This is the one that you can take to heart, take home with you, live this week with, and come back refreshed next week. A new world.
We're going to turn together to the book of Job, Job chapter 2. We're just going to look at two verses of Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, but this story that we'll look at this morning with respect to Job's friends carries into many chapters. So from chapter 2 on to chapter 12, 13, we have the dialogue between Job and his friends. But this scripture reading is just setting the basis of introducing the three friends that we'll look at this morning. So it says, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Nemethite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Now, that sounds like good friends, right? Right there, it does. But as we read into the chapters, we're going to see a little different light. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. And as I said, over the course of the next few weeks, if you want to read further into the book of Job to get the basis of the dialogue and the conversation that Job and his three friends had, then you are welcome to do that, just to get a sense, because I'm only touching on it this morning. I'm not going into all the chapters as we move forward, but just to get a sense of the relationship that they had. We're going to sing another song together now before we hear from the Word of God. And the song, I Bring to Thee My Heart to Fill. I feel how weak I am, but still to Thee for help I call. In joy or grief, to live or die, for earth or heaven, this is my cry. Be Thou my all and all. Perhaps you'd like to stand with me and sing the song down through, please. I bring to thee my heart
to thee, my heart to fill. I feel how weak I am, but still to thee for help I call. In joy or grief, to live or die.
so, Father, now for your word, we pray that you will bless your word, you will bless your servant as I present the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me start by sharing a story. A group of friends went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under an 8-point buck. "Where's Harry?" he was asked. Harry had a stroke of some kind. "He's a couple of miles back up the trail." "You left Harry laying there and carried the deer back?" "Well," said the hunter, "I figured no one was going to steal Harry." Sometimes, church, our friends are going to fail us, and which is what we see happening here in the book of Job. And so this morning, we think about Job's three friends, and we're going to learn some things you should never hear one friend say to another. Now, in the previous lessons, we've learned where Job lost his fortune, his family, his fitness, but we see that he didn't lose his faith. In this chapter, we are introduced to Job's three friends who have come to comfort their friend Job. But if we read the chapters after the few verses I share with you this morning, we would see that they didn't help a whole bunch, a whole lot. They added to Job's torment by the words they spoke. They said things that one friend should never say to another friend. And as we will see this morning, in our study, we will see that these friends began to point their fingers at Job and say, "You're guilty. You're guilty of sin. That's why you're suffering." And so, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Now, if that were all we ever knew about these friends through chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, they would have been heroes, great friends, friends we would want to be associated with. But instead, they start talking. The vast majority of the book is given over to the unwise words of the friends and Job's response to these three friends. These three friends basically say the same thing. "Job, you're suffering because you're wicked." Eliphaz speaks first, and then Job responds to Eliphaz. Then Bildad speaks, and Job responds. And Zophar speaks, and Job responds. And the cycle repeats itself three times through the scriptures. Now, we won't take time to examine all the three comments and all the three conversations and all the three responses. Instead, this morning, I want to examine the attitude expressed by these friends. They show us both the right and the wrong way to help friends who are in need. First, it's the wrong way. Much of what the friends said was theologically correct, but they made two fundamental mistakes in their conversation with Job. And if we're trying to help a friend or a family member or someone in need, we must avoid, I think, two errors that sometimes we may be guilty of committing. First, don't make assumptions about why they're suffering. And we do that sometimes. Not necessarily because of sin, but we make assumptions. False assumptions can get us into trouble. I heard about a carpet layer who was replacing some old carpet in a customer's living room. When he finished tacking down the new carpet, he reached for his cigarettes he kept in his shirt pocket, and they weren't there. About that time, he noticed a lump in the middle of the carpet, about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
He didn't want to go through all the trouble of tearing back up the carpet and taking out the cigarette pack. So he looked around. He saw no one looking. So he walked over to the thing on the floor and he stomped. He stomped it until it got level with the floor, until it wasn't noticeable. When he got back to his truck, he noticed that his cigarette pack was in the truck. And as he lit up his cigarette in his truck, the homeowner ran out and said, "Hey, have you seen my television remote control?" He said, "I've left it somewhere in the living room." It's dangerous to make assumptions. Assumptions can get us into trouble. False assumptions lead to false conclusions, which lead to wrong actions. Job's friends assumed only bad people suffer. Since Job was suffering, they concluded that he was hiding a deep, dark sin in his life that God was punishing him for. So instead of helping him, which we thought was evidenced in verses 11 to 13 of chapter 2, they add to his misery. Eliphaz said to Job, he said, and again, go through the chapters of Job 22, he said, "Is not your wickedness great? Are not your sins endless? You demanded security from your brothers for no reason. You stripped men of their clothing, leaving them naked. And you sent widows away empty-handed and broke the strength of the fatherless. That is why snares are all around you, why sudden peril terrifies you, why it is so dark you cannot see, and why a flood of waters cover you." Now, if you read the scriptures, you will see that there's no evidence that Job did any of these things that he was accused of by his friend. In fact, in chapters 1 and 2, God says Job was a man who was blameless and upright, and a man who shunned evil. So when we're trying to help a friend, family member, be careful that we don't make that same kind of mistake. Don't assume. Don't make assumptions. Secondly, don't make false claims about God's will. Bildad thought he had God's will for Job's life figured out. He said in Job 8, 3 to 6, he said, "Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? When your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. But if you will look to God and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on you, on your behalf, and restore you to your rightful place." Bildad claimed to be speaking for God. He told Job the reason his children died was because they were sinners. And if Job repented, maybe God would restore him. So be careful. When anyone starts trying to tell you what God's will is for your life, if you're trying to help a friend who is hurting, avoid also that big mistake, the wrong way. Now let's look to the right way, the right way. We read in Job 2, 11 to 13, that Job's friends started out doing the right thing. They cried with Job. They put on sackcloth and covered themselves with ashes and sat with Job for 7 days and 7 nights without saying anything. They could have left and gone home and remained great friends, but when they started talking, they stopped helping. And that should be a lesson to us as well. Now I want to share 5 things, or 5 good things, to do when we're trying to help a friend who is hurting. Now, it's not all you can do. I'm sure you could add 5 more, 10 more, 15 more things, but this is a start. A start. First, very simple, be there for them. Be there for them. The best thing you can do is just to be present with your friends in difficult times. There's no written law that says you have to talk. Now, we don't like silence.
And I think sometimes that's why we talk. We just don't like silence. And sometimes to sit with a friend, sometimes the best thing to do is just to sit and say nothing. But we don't like silence, so sometimes we break that silence, and it's not always the best. You don't have to talk to them, just be there. And sometimes the best thing you can do for a friend is to sit with them and give them a hug. All you need to do is be there for them. Secondly, cry with them. Cry with them. It's okay to show human emotion. The best thing Job's friends did was to sit in the ashes with him and to weep along with Job. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, in Romans 12 and 15. Now, we don't want alligator tears. You know what I mean when I say alligator tears, fake tears. That's not what we want, but we want to be in a place where we understand what the individual is going through. Tears communicate your compassion, and it communicates more eloquently than talking. Never tell a hurting friend to stop crying. Instead, cry with them. Third, listen to them. Sometimes if we do all the talking, we don't give them the chance to talk. So listen to them. In James 1 and 9, the Bible says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. He wants to listen at least twice as much as we talk. Sometimes people claim a dog is a man's best friend. I think that's because you can talk to a dog and they won't talk back. Someone said you can keep silent and people will only suspect you're a fool. Or you can speak and remove all doubt. Every hurting person needs a friend who will listen. Who will listen. And even in the silence, will listen to their actions. Fourthly, be sensitive to their physical needs. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. When you have a friend who is suffering, stick with them. Be sensitive to their physical needs. Watch over them. A person who is grieving or suffering often is so burdened they forget to take care of their simplest physical needs. They may forget to eat. They may forget to sleep. They may forget to take care of their hygiene. Pay attention to their physical needs. And finally, pray with them. Pray with them. Don't preach a sermon, but just pray with them. Don't pray long. Don't use a kind of prayer that gives you the opportunity to catch up on your prayer life. Hold their hand, put your arm around their shoulder, and just a simple prayer. A simple prayer that God would give them the grace and strength and the peace that they need. The Word of God says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Thirdly, we need to ask ourselves the question, how do I respond to friends who fail me? Sometimes we are like Job's three friends. We're trying to help a friend, but let's put ourselves in Job's sandals for a moment. How do you think he must have felt? Maybe there's a time when you find yourself in a situation where you're the one who's struggling and you feel that your friends have failed you. Well, a few points. Don't hide your disappointment. Now, I want to say everything we do in love. We do in Christian love. We do as the example of Jesus. The easiest response is just to forget it and pretend it never happened. But because these were friends of Job, he wasn't about to let them get away with their false accusations. He refused to just put on a smile and let them get away with what they had said. Job never stomped off and huffed and puffed away from the conversation. He could have said, "You're not my friends anymore." Instead, he challenged them for the words of accusation. And he said, "If I say,
I will forget my complaint. I will change my expression and smile. I still dread all my sufferings, for I know you will not hold me innocent, since I am already found guilty. Why should I struggle in vain? In Job 9. In Job 13, he said, you, however, smear me with your lips. You are worthless physicians, all of you. If only you would be altogether silent. It's okay to be honest with your friends, but remember, in Christian love, let them know you're disappointed and let them know how much you need their help. Secondly, don't become bitter toward them. It's so easy to get bitter, even within the church. I've seen congregations where individuals haven't gotten along, and if we could make the church bigger, they would sit opposite ends of the church because they were angry with each other. It does no one any good to be bitter or angry. And that's why we have so many splits within the church. People have been and will always be at some point disappointed with the behavior of other Christians to get bitter. I like the story of a man who had been stranded on a desert island for 10 years. He was the only one on the island, but there was plenty of food and water. Finally, he was rescued. As his rescuers were saving him, they saw three buildings he had built on the island. They asked him about the buildings. He said, the first one is my house. The second one is my church. They said, what about the third building? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. So you can even argue amongst yourselves, right? With yourself. Job was a target of hostility from his friends, but he refused to direct hostility back toward them. When someone insults us, or our human nature screams out to say, yeah, well, the same to you and more, Job refused to become bitter about his friends. He could have said, just wait until you find yourself in my situation. I'll just tell you how rotten a sinner you are. No, this is what he said. Miserable comforts are you all. With your long-winded speeches, will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? I also could speak like you if you were my place. I could make my fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. In Job 16, 2 and 5. He said, I'm not going to treat you the way you treated me. I'm going to treat you the way I want it to be treated. And again, pray for them. Pray for them. I believe there is a profound turning point in the book of Job. Job was suffering greatly, and then God removed his sufferings and restored more blessing to Job than he previously had before, which we will look at later down into the book of Job. An important question for us to consider is, when did God change Job's misery to blessing? Perhaps the answer is found in Job 42 and 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. Job could have easily said, get out of here, you are no longer my friends, but he prayed for them. He prayed for them. And the Bible says that after he prayed for them, the Lord prospered him. Are there some people in your past that have failed you? Failed you during your time of need? Don't become bitter. Pray for them. Family members and friends may fail you, but one will never fail. The one is Jesus. That one is Jesus. Job discovered that sometimes your wife will disappoint you and tell you to curse God and die. He discovered that those he considered to be his closest friends might sometimes turn against you. In spite of being disappointed, Job learned something eternally important. He learned that Jesus is a friend who will never desert you, never fail you. Job looked through his tears, and his tears magnified his sight and allowed him to see his Redeemer. I shared with you this verse last week. I share the verse with you again today. In Job 19 and 25, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. May God bless his word this morning. I'd like for us to sing a couple of choruses together this morning. As we contemplate his word, reflect upon his word, and ask ourselves some deep questions. First, about our relationship with God. Do we have that forgiving heart? Do we have that compassionate heart? That's only in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have it through secular means. It's only through a relationship with Jesus. Are there those in your life that you have yet to forgive? Are there people in your life who have failed you? May I be bold to say, are you a person perhaps who's failed someone else? The chorus is, all there is of me, Lord, all there is of me. Time and talents, day by day, all I bring to thee. All there is of me, Lord, all there is of me, on thine altar here I lay, all there is of me. This place of prayer is available this morning, but perhaps in your seat, in your pew, where you're sitting right now, you may need to bow your head, say a prayer, acknowledge your need of God, acknowledge your weakness, ask for his strength, pray. Pray for others, pray for yourself. Pray for the wholeness of the Holy Spirit to be evidenced in your life. Let's sing together.
All there is of me.
Father, through this prayer this morning, we acknowledge our need of you. We need you, Lord, all of us at all times. There should never be a place in our life where we could say, I don't need you. We need you. We need your example. We need to live the way you would want us to live, in thought, in word, and in deed. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, the challenge of your word, the example of your word. May we live your word, O God, every day in life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Another chorus says, all my days and all my hours, all my will and all my powers, all the passion of my soul, not a fragment but the whole, shall be thine, dear Lord, shall be thine, dear Lord.
All my days.
Thank you.
Well, let's stand together. We'll sing our concluding song for this morning. Be strong in the grace of the Lord. Be noble, upright, and true. Be valiant for God and the right. Live daily your duty to do. Be strong, and God will your courage renew. The three verses together, please. Benediction for this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.